Und that's it. We'll do Sahana Bhava too, since I'm going to be teaching and then doing meditations. Okay. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. The buddhi, your buddhi, means it's really the deeper mind, the mind that has clarity of thinking, that can actually take action, so to speak, as opposed to the fluctuating mind or the mind which is holding emotions that are just rising up. That's the menace. That's not really thinking, right? It's just responding, basically. It's on automatic. But it's also a holder of experiences, like it's a holder of your emotions, it's a holder of just the thought flow. It's a receptacle for the vrittis. It's, you know, a receptacle for the vritti content of the vrittis, like even from perception. It will go into the manas. The buddhi is where the clarity of thought is, where I respond to, I have a response to the vritti. I have knowledge in reference to the vritti. Vritti means thought modification. I have knowledge in reference to it. I can act or come into relationship with the manas. It's all the functions of the buddhi. Right? And so in contemplation, there are certain things that we're able to do, that our mind is able to do. And one that is so helpful and so important is that I can actually split my mind into a subject-object relationship. And I can do that over and over again in many different ways. For instance, if, say, that I am overwhelmed by an emotion, and so now I am just that emotion, I'm speaking from that emotion, I'm acting from that emotion, the emotion has overwhelmed the buddhi, right, and so now I basically am that, right? But I have the capacity to objectify the emotion, right? First I'm overwhelmed with the emotion, and then I'm just that emotion, I'm speaking from it, acting from it, etc. But I can also objectify it by saying, oh, you're feeling upset. Now you're really upset. Or just recognizing that you're aware of the upsetness or aware of the emotion. That act creates a subject-object relationship with whatever the experience is you're having. So even if it's an emotion, an upset, a complex, say you're overwhelmed by some sort of a complex, we'll get into the dynamics of complexes later. Say you're overwhelmed by some sort of complex or emotional state. The fact that you are able to objectify it and even say, oh, I'm overwhelmed by this, you know, or I'm feeling so sad, right? I'm aware of the sadness. Subject, object, right? When the buddhi is able to do that, then the buddhi, when it's able to objectify the experience instead of being totally identified with it, then the buddhi is actually free of the experience. The experience is still there, like the upsetness, but the buddhi is the one who's come into relationship with that. So the buddhi now is free of that, and it can respond to it, it can be helpful, you know, it can heal it, it can do many, many things, itself being not overwhelmed. Do you understand? So now that buddhi, I would say, in a sense, has no content. That buddhi is pure. That buddhi has shanti, right? Because it's objectified the ashanti, the lack of shanti, it's objectified. So it itself has shanti. And that buddhi now can be very healing to the objectified emotion. You can do inner child work. You can have discussion with that objectified emotion. You can support it. Say if it's even some sort of anger, or you blew it somehow in the world. You said the wrong thing, or you tripped when you were trying to be giving a speech, or whatever. The buddhi can say, you know, don't worry, it's okay. Or say you're very upset and people are angry with you, and say, it's okay, you can be with me, don't worry, it's okay. It can say, the buddhi can be a good friend. It can be an inner friend, because there's a space. You've created a space between the buddhi, you know, your mind, and the emotion or whatever you're suffering from. So that's a huge thing, right? Because it gives you the space to help, to be helpful, to be an inner friend, to care. And that, what I'm just coining as inner friend, it's that attitude of care and love and respect, you know, and giving the benefit of the doubt and wanting to help. You can be that person to that emotion or to that problem, which that type of, that love or acceptance of whatever you're suffering from really helps to relax the suffering part, you know, because it's not being rejected. It's just like a child coming to its mom, you know, then the crying stops and everything because of the love, you know, the love and the understanding and, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt and you're a beautiful little girl, you know, you're a wonderful boy, don't worry, you know, mommy loves you. All of these things that we do, you know, settles down the child. But the way that we are toward our own mind and our own problems actually settles down and helps to resolve the problem. It resolves the emotion, and the reason it resolves it is because we have the emotion, a way of looking at it just kind of technically, the emotion is really caused by some form of stress and tension in the mind. And we have a lot of words for these emotions, you know, but it's really what's happening is the mind stuff in the body become tight and stressed. And we have different names for those levels of stress, like it'd be sadness or hurt or dislike. It's just different names for different combinations of stress. But when you are an inner friend to that stressed mind, that hurt mind, that relaxes the mind. And as it relaxes the mind, the stress dissipates. And all of a sudden, this emotion that you're suffering from becomes less and less and less and kind of disappears and resolves into the warmth of the buddhi. You get it? Kind of how that works? Now, the buddhi, when it has objectified the emotion or the problem or the hurt or the anger or whatever it is, it itself, enjoying shanti, is can just resolve itself into me. The self of I, the Atma, is really the self of the inner friend. We say when we say the word inner friend, it means that it has certain qualities of love and compassion and care, which are all just natural expressions of the Atma. Even though the Atma isn't loving or being compassionate or caring, because it's not dual, that is your nature, without any duality, just the very being. That's why we say ananda. The word ananda, sometimes it's translated as bliss, which is a misleading word. But ananda means, you know, wholeness, or what is, by its nature, caring, and not in a verbal way. You know, as a verb means it's not an action. It's just its swarupa, it's just its nature. Your nature is caring, your nature is loving. Your nature is absolutely free of fear. It's absolutely non-rejecting. just by the essential essence of your being, not in terms of your being doing anything, you know, but it's the essence, it's the very essence which the buddhi, when it enjoys shanti, becomes a spokesperson for, an actor for that essence. You know, like the self might be caring, but it doesn't have any words or any action, but the buddhi can care for you as a verb, right? The buddhi can love you as a verb, but the love that it's sharing is your own nature. That's why when the buddhi is quiet and has shanti, you feel so at home, because it's not, isn't having any affects that are competing with you. Right? So the inner friend, when we say the inner friend, you can look at it as a spokesperson or an actor or an agent for yourself. It's a natural expression of your being, you know. And that's why when that natural expression of your being is being acted upon by the buddhi, so to speak, then everyone benefits, you know. Every part of you benefits, and every part of other people benefit also, because they have the same self. They have the same need of being myself. You know? If I'm being myself, that self that I'm being is yourself. So, as we kind of mature in this understanding, what we realize is that the buddhi is the inner friend, as just a spokesperson for myself. As I recognize more and more just my own nature, my being as I am is present to every vritti I have, every thought, every emotion. Every emotion takes place in my being. We can evoke the buddhi by making a separation between the buddhi and the emotion, so there's a subject-object relationship. But on another level, whether I make that separation or not, the emotion still is taking place in my own nature, in the conscious being that I am, whose very being is the self of that inner friend. So invoking the buddhi is like invoking an intermediary, which can be very helpful, because the buddhi enjoys my own presence and it can talk. It has me for its presence, and it's not because it's differentiated itself from the emotion. It's not having any, it's not subject to the emotion. The emotion has been objectified, and so it can speak to the emotion from a standpoint of my own nature, and that's very, very healing. Right? And there comes a time when you don't even need to use the buddhi, because everything is coming into your own being, and you've done it for long enough so that you are just the sanctuary for whatever thoughts or feelings are coming in. And when there's some problem, then the buddhi just naturally comes as a spokesperson for you. I don't know if that makes sense. We'll be talking about it in different ways. So just kind of understanding that, I want to kind of do now a guided meditation, so that I just wanted you to know a little bit of the psychodynamics involved, so to speak, so you have more understanding of it. So let's do a contemplation.